The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and this edition of This Week in Comics. This week we chat about multiple covers. We talk about a bunch of books, of course. Our normal chit-chat, but somehow, some way, after a year or so doing this with John, am I starting to turn into John? You'll see what I mean later in the podcast. And it was a rough night for me, I guess, at the end, because I had a rough ending, rough wrap-up to the show. So, with that, let's head into the store. Johnny, how we doing?
Doing good.
Well,
I never know how you're going to come in anymore. So
me neither.
I have to be on my toes.
I try to think of something all week, and then I sit down and go, "What? I got nothing." Then we sit down. I'm like, I don't know what to say, so I can't. When was the last time somebody called you Johnny?
5 seconds ago. Yeah. Nobody.
Really? Somebody
that,
so, just left the stores, called you Johnny?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Your family calls you Jack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to come in with Jack sometime.
There you go. You'll throw all the listeners off. They won't know what you're doing. They'll think you got a new co-host.
Yeah.
They'll be rioting in the streets. Dr. Joe will be picketing outside your house.
Where'd Nudie go?
Yeah. It'll be mass hysteria.
Yeah. So we were just having a quick conversation off air before we started. I think
is any conversation we have a quick conversation?
Never.
I'm just wondering.
Never.
I don't think they are.
Remember when we first started, we were like, we had conversations during the week and we were like, we got to stop doing this because when we go to sit down for the show, there's nothing. We're like, all right, we already talked about that. It looks like I'm going to be joining the cord cutting members of society there. Is that an acronym? CC.
It should be. In today's modern vernacular.
Yeah. It looks like I'm going to...
Baby boomers, cord cutters,
Cord cutters.
It's somewhere between millennials and baby boomers. We have the cord cutters.
Yeah. That's a big deal for me. I've been with Dish since the 90s. I had a brief hiatus when Charter, the cable company out here, had HD. Came out with that first before Dish, and I left and came back. But, this streaming thing just seems to be the way to go.
It might have legs. I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's a fad.
Might be a thing.
So big decision, but big change, actually. So
yeah.
But
I think you'd be better off.
Yeah, honestly. that's where all the content is. And it does seem to be cheaper. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but because you'd think.
But it's creeping up. Like eventually it won't. Like there'll become a point where it'll.
Well, here's where I think it's cheaper.
I mean, you won't ever have the equipment fees because you'll never have to have set-top boxes,
right?
But already, like I've been looking at HBO. I mean, not HBO. The DirecTV streaming. TV.
I looked into that, too.
And it's gone from like $44 a month to $65 a month over the last year or so. So, I mean, it's creeping up to where it's going to be comparable at some point. Because once they realize that everybody's leaving their set-top services and they don't have anybody anymore,
but
they're going to have to go up.
Here's why it made it where it saves money for me is that I'm already streaming a bunch of stuff anyways. I mean, we've got Disney Plus coming up in less than a week. I already have DC Universe, HBO. I have to stream HBO because Dish doesn't get that anymore, so I've been streaming that. What else? CW. I've been streaming CW because it just looks like crap on Dish. It's not comparable. So, but that was free. But I think the reason it's cheaper now is because you're streaming everything anyways. So if you have a cable service or a satellite service, you're paying for two things. Whereas if you drop one, all you're paying for is streaming. And you know what I mean? So it's like there's a little bit of redundancy there if you have a cable service and you're streaming, whereas if you just drop one, you can have everything and you're actually saving money. So
Right. That's
the way I'm looking at it. But it's, I mean, like I said, it is kind of a big deal to me. But hey, big change. So
yeah.
What do we got in the world of comic books this week? For news and stuff, not comic books.
Actually, for news, yeah, I was gonna say, news. We jumping right into that.
No.
So, not a lot of news this week, but I did see that it looks like they started production on Falcon and Winter Soldier this week.
Yep.
So, that was cool.
Yeah,
I mean, we already had the premiere date, so I guess we knew that was going to happen anyways. But you know, Anthony Mackie and. Sebastian Stan were on their social media accounts posting, you know, pictures and things from set.
Yeah.
So, again, just something to look forward to coming up. But on the same vein of the Disney Plus Marvel shows, it looks like Haley Steinfeld now is seriously in doubt for Kate Bishop.
Oh, really?
You know.
Yeah, I didn't see that. What happened?
Well, for one thing, she's got her show on Apple TV now because she's got Dickinson.
Okay.
Where, you know, she's, I don't know how many seasons that's going to have, if it goes more than one. But yeah, I guess she was questioned about it, and, you know, again, we established last week that actors may not always tell the truth. But she
said,
we
looked into that one for a long time, did a lot of research.
She didn't really know much about it and hadn't been contacted about it. And now apparently she's hesitant because of the Jeremy Renner news as well. You know, guilty until proven innocent. But, you know, again, we'll see. They can find another Kate Bishop if they have to, but it just kind of throws into question, like, when that's supposed to go into production and who's actually going to be in the role. So, you know, that'd be too bad. I like her, and I think she would have made a good Kate Bishop. But, I mean, they can find any number of other people that'll do just as good of a job, I'm sure. So,
yeah.
You know, if it's not her, there'll be somebody else. And then the last thing I had is there's just been a plethora of Batman casting news this week.
Yeah.
To the point where you might want to get your sounder ready, but this actually looks like it's shaping up to be a giant
language
show to me because
There's
just too many people. Like, you've got now Harvey Dent and the Riddler and the Penguin and Catwoman and, you know,
Yeah.
It's just, you know, we got the Spider-Man 3 thing happening again where there's just way too many villains, too many things going on. You know, I'm really happy with the choices that they're making. You know, like I think Matthew McConaughey would be a great Harvey Dent. I love Andy Serkis as Alfred, if that actually turns out to be the case. I'm not super thrilled with Colin Farrell as the Penguin. Again, I like Colin Farrell.
I love Colin Farrell, so I think he could do it.
I don't know that the Penguin comes to mind immediately when I see Colin
Farrell. That's why it's called acting.
well, yeah, but still.
So
you can only make him so short and so fat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, there's nothing saying he has to be fat. I mean, I know he has been, but the Penguin
in Gotham
wasn't fat.
Yeah, he wasn't, but I don't know.
I thought he was great.
I just feel like they've got a lot going on.
So, did you hear Ralph Garman today?
I did.
So,
yes.
I don't think, like, remember I had asked you weeks ago if we thought this was going to be like a hush story, and you had said, I think correctly, you think it was going to be a long Halloween.
Yeah, I don't think it's hush.
I think it's long
Halloween.
But my point was, is they thought with all these characters coming in, they were thinking hush. But you could do the same thing in the long Halloween and have characters popping in and out. And I do like the idea, like the way they said it. It's like all of these characters we're talking about, they don't need to be vetted in the movie. You know what I mean? They're all well-known characters. So it's possible that they can be bringing these characters in and do like a long Halloween story And people are going to understand who Penguin is. They're going to understand who all these characters are, you know, Riddler, Penguin, whatever. And they could still tell a story. I have hope that it's going to be a good story and a good. Just because there's a lot of people,
I mean,
it doesn't mean that, you know.
You know, I have the same hope. You know, obviously I want it to be a good movie. I just feel like that's what you do in the third movie. Like, you don't introduce 100 characters in the first movie. I understand it's not the first Batman movie we've ever had. You know, obviously there's been others. But it's the first, you know, Matt Reeves Batman universe movie, you know. And I just don't think in movie one you go ahead and introduce, you know, 37 villains.
But the thing is
that's
there's
something
been,
you build up to.
There's been so many Batman movies that what do you do if you don't – if you only bring in one villain, you're just doing a singular – another Batman story, which has already been done. Whereas I think what they're doing here has never been done. And to your point, you run the risk of a bunch of people walking out of the movie going, I wish they had more Riddler, or I wish they had more Penguin, or I wish they had more, you know what I mean? Where, like, we didn't get as much as you wanted. Maybe somebody steals the show, but they only had a limited role and you really wanted more of that. So you run that risk. But I really think, I mean, I think they're going for something that hasn't been done before. And otherwise, it's just another Batman story. So,
well, I mean, it's been done. It was done in Batman and Robin.
Well, that's not really fair because
But I was saying, look how well that turned out. I mean, you had Mr. Freeze, you had Bane, you had Poison Ivy, you had, you know.
Right, but that entire those group of movies didn't turn out as well as a bunch of movies since then. You know, I don't think that movie didn't do well because they had that many characters. I think it didn't do well because of, or it doesn't play as well.
Credit card.
Yeah, exactly. there's a bunch of things that didn't play well, but that many characters wasn't it. Yeah. Wasn't the only thing, I should say.
Like I said, it's not. I don't want it to fail. Obviously,
no, I know.
I want it to be great. I want it to be an awesome movie. I don't know. I hear all these casting announcements, and it's like, I don't know, man. There's a lot going on there. And like I said, I've mentioned in the past, there's still rumors of a Batgirl and a Nightwing showing up.
Yeah.
Also, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a lot going on.
It'll be fun. At the very least, it'll be fun. So, anything else on that?
No. And that's all I had for news, actually.
All right. I got a couple of things. Marvel Studios is saying Endgame is coming to Disney Plus on November 12th. Didn't they say?
That wasn't the initial announcement.
I know. That's why I brought it up.
It was 27th or something.
I thought it was December, like 11th.
Oh, it might be. Remember, yeah, it was at least 3 or 4 weeks later.
Yeah. And now they're announcing, it's like Marvel Studios is saying, oh snap, Avengers Endgame is coming to Disney Plus. Start streaming the epic finale to Marvel Studios Infinity Saga on November 12th in the U.S., Canada, and Netherlands.
Maybe they want more subscribers. Maybe they're not hitting the numbers
yet
that they want. So.
Yeah. So, the reason I brought it up is because I thought that it was December 11th, and that's why I wanted to ask you. I'm like, just to make sure.
I don't remember the exact date, but I know that it was not – originally it was not on launch. Yeah. It was a few weeks later.
Yep.
Literally. Well,
like
I mean, that's good.
Month.
Yeah, I mean, that's good to – good to hear. I mean, I could have waited a month because there's going to be plenty of stuff to watch between now and then anyways.
Most of the people
– Endgame won't be the first thing I watch because
– I already own it.
Like, if you're trying to get more subscribers – I wouldn't put the movie that the entire world has seen already.
I know. Exactly. Or the entire world
owns. It's
made
so much money, like, there's nobody that hasn't seen it.
Right.
So.
Right, exactly. And the other thing I got is on, it came from The Boys, the TV show.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Oh, Carl Urban put out the post, cut and print. It's a wrap. So, and they said.
It's a wrap for him.
Well, they said that's a wrap for Billy Butcher on season 2.
For him,
two.
Yeah. I don't know if the total production is done yet, but his part is done.
But he's saying it'll be out mid 2020. So that's good news.
That makes sense though. That'll
around
be
June-ish.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait. I loved The Boys. Yeah. I thought it was awesome.
And I think, and like we said before, I think they're ramping it up in the
The adult content.
I was just
going to
say, yeah, the adult part. They're going to let the expletives fly.
Yeah.
So that's that. I can't wait for that. That'll be good. And that's all I have for news. Is that good?
All right. Yeah.
All righty.
I think so.
Well, let's get to it.
I guess it has to be, doesn't it?
Yeah,
because that's all we have.
I can't think of anything else.
It's not good, DJ. You need to come up with two more stories.
Hey, give me a minute.
Chop, chop. I'll wait.
Yeah, exactly. I think next week we'll have a little bit of, well, maybe not a lot of news, just a lot of chit-chat about Disney Plus. That's going to be,
yeah.
I can't wait.
Well, the only problem is like, I don't know how much I'm going to digest in 24 hours. Like, I don't know how much we're going to have to talk about.
Well, we're supposed to get rain and snow, so I'm going to have 24 hours of Disney.
Well, you will, but I won't. I work all day Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah, couldn't you stream it at work?
I could, but I don't. I don't stream anything but advertising at the store, so I don't do that anymore. I stole that from Ernie at Friendly Neighborhood Comics.
Oh, there you go. So. All right, then let's get into the comics then. So what am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right, so there is not a ton of speculator books again this week, but we do have a Spawn issue 302. There's a D and an E cover. I guess this is the first appearance of She-Spawn. Even though, I guess, first full appearance, because she did have a cameo at the end of Spawn 301. But these are selling for $6 to $10 a piece. But we'll probably pick up as the week goes on. I sold out of both covers today on this. Spawn's been hot lately. Ever since issue 300, I'm selling more copies of Spawn than I had sold since I opened.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wow.
A lot of... I guess 300 brought a lot of people back in, and, you know, so far a lot of them have stuck with it. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, hopefully it continues. Cause,
that's good news.
I'm selling triple the numbers of Spawn that I sold before 300.
Now, triple isn't three, is it?
No, no.
Like you were only selling one a week?
I went from selling, I was probably selling... 9 to 10 copies a month, and now I'm selling almost 30. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, selling, like I said, it's selling quite a bit. A lot more people are buying all the covers, where before they weren't, you know, they were just getting one. So,
oh.
Anyway, we'll see. Again, this depends on what happens with She-Spawn and if she sticks around for any period of time or how hot she gets as a character. This could go up from there. And then the second one is a book called Niobe, She is Death.
Sounds uplifting.
Yeah. So this is being sold on eBay for $15 a pop, asking. I don't know how many of them are actually selling at that, but everybody that's got them listed has them listed, you know, between $12 and $15. And then the 1 in 10 incentive is actually being listed for $40. So... Again, small press book. I don't know. I didn't order any of these. I'd never even heard of it.
I was just going to ask, have you heard of it? Because I haven't.
No.
Not that I'm a good gauge, yeah. But.
I don't even remember seeing it on the order forms. But yeah, so if you could pick one of these up out there somewhere, you know, hold on to it. It's probably going to be worth a few bucks. And that's it for speculator books.
All right. Then let's just get right into back issue bonus.
All right, so back issue bins, we have Captain America issue 323. This is the first appearance of John Walker, the Super Patriot. Obviously, he was announced for Disney Plus, and this book is selling for about $65 for ungraded copies in good shape. Again, this was previously a $2 to $3 issue, so
yeah.
It's really gone up a lot. Next, we have Web of Spider-Man number 70. This is going for about $20. This is the first appearance of hulked-out Spider-Man. I don't know what's driving that right now necessarily, but seems to be picking up right now. It's going for about $20. Moon Knight issue 14. This is the first appearance of Stained Glass Scarlet. This is just Disney Plus speculation, I think, with this. You know, obviously, if we get a Moon Knight show,
there's
going to be, you know, they're going to need villains for the show. But this was a $5 book, and right now it's selling for $30. So a lot of people seem to think this character will show up on that show. Looks like these are all Marvel this week. The next one is The Pulse, issue 13. This is the first appearance of Danny Cage. So going back to last week, we talked about Dead Man Logan, number 11, where she was the first appearance of, or where she wielded Thor's hammer and became, like, you know, old lady Thor, you know, whatever, yep, in that old man Logan universe.
Yep.
And this is her first appearance, so $20 is the going rate for that. And then last but not least, we have Spider-Verse, issue number 1. There's a Walmart variant. You can only get this book in the Walmart 3-packs. And their 3-packs, you know, obviously the way they work is the most you're ever going to see is 2 out of the 3 books. You know, you can't really see what the 3rd book is. So you're not guaranteed to get one of these in any particular 3-pack that you pick up there. But if you get a hold of it, it is exclusive. It's going for $20 to $25. It's also the first appearance of Spider-Zero, so that's helping to drive the price a little bit, too. And that's it for back issue bonus.
All right, let's get into final order cutoff for next Monday.
All right, so first book we have from DC is Batman number 84. We have a really cool Francesco Mattina variant cover for that. We have Deathstroke 50, Scon is back again with another variant cover.
Can't go wrong with a Francisco Mattina, though, earlier.
No.
For the Batman. I mean,
no, you can't. He does great Batman covers. And then we have a Justice League 37. This is a Tony Daniel variant cover. I like Tony Daniel's art a lot, so I think this is a really good cover also. And then for new series from DC, we have The Dark Knight Returns, The Golden Child. This is issue number 1. I know this is a mini series, but I couldn't see how many issues it was. It's probably 5. I think that's what the last Dark Knight series was. But obviously, this is the next part of Frank Miller's Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, it was a trilogy. Now it's, I think, up whatever 5 series, whatever 5 is.
Is it a spinoff of the Eddie Murphy movie?
Yeah. I want the knife. And that's it from DC. From Image, we have 20XX, issue number 1. There's only one cover for that. And then Marvel, we have Immortal Hulk number 28, has a Dale Keown variant cover. And then for new series, we have, actually, most of these are one-shots. The Annihilation Scourge Beta Ray Bill has multiple covers. Doom and Spider-Man 2099 both have multiple covers. And then we have Symbiote Spider-Man Alien Reality. And this is issue number 1 of 5. And there's multiple covers for it. That's it from Marvel. From Boom, we have Power Rangers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, issue number 1. Multiple covers there. Also a mini-series that I could not find the total number of issues for. I would guess 6 on this, though. And then from Dynamite, we have James Bond, issue number 1. There's multiple covers there. That's a new series, obviously. And for variant covers, we have Red Sonja, issue number 11. There's a really cool Joseph Linzer variant cover. And then last but not least, from Archie Comics, we have Vampironica New Blood, issue number 1. And there's multiple covers for it. And that is it for FOC.
All right. Before we get into book club, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
So I hear, and we've talked about this in the past, and I actually forget why people get upset about the multiple variant covers. So I see it a lot on Twitter. I've actually had conversations with people in stores that it's aggravating to them that Marvel puts out so many covers to a book.
Mm-hmm.
Why does that bother people that they have more choices?
Well,
not arguing, asking a question.
I understand. You know. Well, so for completionists, which, you know, comic book collectors, a lot of collectors are, you know, completionist collectors. They got to have everything.
Right.
So to have to shell out for 7 covers for the same book every month is expensive.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't like that. And then the fact that so many of them are gated behind different ordering restrictions to get the cover that you really want. A lot of stores aren't able to meet the qualifications to get those variants. So that's discouraging when you cannot service your customer and give them what they want because you don't meet the qualifications to order. And then just the fact that, you know, if you have to boost the circulation of your book by inflating the numbers with multiple covers, then I don't know if that book needs to exist, you know. I'm going to take it off of Marvel for a little bit here and jump to something like Dynamite Comics.
Right. Vampirella is just...
Yeah, who does like 6 or 7 copies, 6 or 7 covers for literally every issue of every book they print.
Right.
So not even just number ones. Like I just said, Red Sonja number 11 still has, you know, 5 covers plus ratio variants. So there's probably 8 or 9 total covers for every single issue. If you can't sell enough copies of Red Sonja on its own with one cover to meet, you know, your sales goals, then you probably shouldn't be publishing that book. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that you should be meeting your goals by selling 7 covers to every issue.
Okay.
It's my personal opinion, but I don't think you should, you know, your because that inflates your circulation numbers too, right? Like, if you're touting that your book sells 150,000 copies, but it's really only 30,000 copies with 5 covers of each, like, you're not really selling that many copies of that book.
I see what you're saying. When I see multiple covers, I don't look at it that way. I'm not, because I'm not, like you said, like, that completionist term you used.
Right.
I don't think like that. I know people do, but I look at it like, oh, a bunch of artists are getting opportunities. And that's, you know, that's how I've always looked at it. And I've had, I don't bring that up when people say it to me, because when they complain, I just say, oh yeah, well, you know, but it just, to me, it's like, you know,
I think the biggest gripe with it really is it seems like the cooler covers are the ones that you can't really get.
But isn't that part of the fun? That's like, I mean, you had the same thing in baseball cards. You had, you know, there were limited sets. There were limited this. And isn't that what makes it fun and valuable?
With a baseball card, though, you had the same chance of, with every pack that you opened, you had the same chance to get, like, the card you were looking for, or the, you know, the chase card,
right,
or whatever.
But it was the same idea.
Comics, like, you know, let's say, depending on where you live, your store might never qualify for any of those covers ever. So your only option to get them is to go online and pay, you know, inflated, exorbitant prices for them.
Right, but look at, now let me go back to the baseball card thing. You might buy, you know, tens and maybe hundreds of dollars of baseball cards trying to get that one valuable card, when you could just go online. When we were kids, there was no going online. You just bought pack after pack. So to your idea of, like, where the store doesn't qualify, or it's harder to get that book because, you know, well, that's the same. And if you have to sell multiple covers to sell that book, you shouldn't sell that book. But they're selling baseball cards by promising you're getting a crap load of crap baseball cards looking for that one card. So it's under that same token, you could say, well, maybe you shouldn't put out this set of cards if you have to put in a special, you know, this one limited edition one to sell a bunch of minor league players in a pack. Not
right,
minor
but
league,
not
but you know what I mean?
But that's not what they're doing.
That's pretty much, like, the same thing. They're promising you something, and you're gambling. You're basically gambling,
right,
where at least in a store you go in, you don't spend any money.
like, let's take baseball cards out of it and let's go to some, because, you know, nobody buys baseball cards anymore. But the big thing
sure
now is game.
I know a guy that sells. Really. Yeah.
Yeah. But well, not a lot. I'm telling you, we can argue all day, dude, but I'm telling you, I know this bit. The market for baseball cards is pretty small nowadays. What I was going to say is let's go to, like, gaming cards, like Pokemon or Magic the Gathering or something, because that's what packs are now, right? Like, that's the packs that stores are selling. It's the same principle, right? Like, there's cards in there that are worth more than others based on how they function in the game. If you're Pokemon, it's, you know, Charizard or whatever. And yes, you know, you open your pack and you're gambling, you're going to get the card you're looking for, but you're still guaranteed to get a rare card in that pack. Like, you're still getting something, even if you're not getting the card you're looking for.
I don't remember being guaranteed a rare card. I just remember you got cards. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why I'm going off of base. That's why I went away from baseball and I went to something else.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's why I changed the conversation.
to fit your narrative.
Well, no, because baseball cards, right. You're right. There's no such thing. Baseball cards aren't sorted in commons, uncommons, or rares.
Right,
like,
right.
They all have the same circulation. But I would argue that you get, it's not just this one good major league player and then everything else are minor leaguers. I mean, every player in the league gets a card.
Yeah, but
you know,
they
in baseball.
Yeah, but in baseball cards, they did have like a special gold leaf card or something that would be more valuable and rare. They did the same thing.
But it wasn't just one of them for one player. Like, we're going way off on a tangent with these baseball cards, but my point is that you're still getting something in your pack. It's not like you're getting nothing. Like, you're not buying these cards and getting trash.
Right.
You know.
But at the same time, you have to buy packs to try and get something. Whereas if I go into your store and you don't have the book, I don't have to buy six books to find out I didn't get the book.
I understand. Well, that's why
see what I mean?
You're the one that brought up the baseball cards. I'm not sure.
No,
they
but
don't even really relate. But because I know exactly what you're saying.
Right.
I'm not sure why we got on the baseball cards to begin with, but
well, it's part of the collecting. That's all.
Right.
It's part of, and being a, if you're a completionist in baseball cards, you want to get everything, and it's just as hard to get some of those limited ones. That's why I was saying. It's like, yeah, you might be a store that can't get a book, but other stores can, so you'd have to track it down. Just like if you're collecting baseball cards and you're a completionist, you have to track down that card.
Right.
That's what I was saying.
But there's ordering issues for stores too. Like, and that's why I'm trying to keep it from the consumer side, because I realize that not everybody owns a comic book store like I do.
Right.
But it creates problems for retailers too. But from the collector standpoint, it's just flooding the market with a bunch of the same stuff. And like I said, in a lot of cases, and again, I can't answer for everybody. Like, I don't know why
everybody
gets upset about it. Everybody has different reasons.
Right, and you've given a few of
wallet
them.
Wallet fatigue is probably the biggest,
of course.
The biggest reason. It's just, there's just too many things to buy and too many choices. And then, you know, like I said, if you want, because going back to what I was saying, the harder to get covers are the coolest ones. Like, you know, the cool In-Hyuk Lee cover or whatever is the one that's the 1 in 25, not just the regular everyday cover.
Right.
So, you know, the people that want those, even if their store does qualify for them, they're not putting them out on the shelf at $3.99. You know, they're jacking the prices up to $25, $35, $45, whatever the going rate is
for
that particular cover.
Oh, of course.
So if I want that book, I got to pay $35 for it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And not $3.99. So I think it's not a problem when it's used correctly, like I said, for a number one issue or something like that. It's fine. But when it becomes just month after month, issue after issue, people get tired of it.
Well, like, what was it? Detective Comics 1000. They had, 12, 13 covers, something like that.
And
then, I mean, they did the same thing with Action. They do, you know.
Right.
I mean,
but again, that's
selling more books.
That was a big event.
Oh yeah.
Like for the most part, DC does two covers a month, an A and a B cover, and none of them are gated. you know, you can order equal quantities of both.
Yeah.
And so I don't think those are the ones that people are complaining about, because those, okay, again, are just giving you...
No, no, yeah, it's usually multiple.
Those are just
like
giving
you
the options, you know. You can either buy the A cover or the B cover, and, you know, that's it. It's when there's, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 copies of covers. That's when it starts to become
just
a problem.
Whenever it comes up, I always look at it from the artist side and like, oh, a bunch of artists are getting opportunities. And that's,
right.
That's why I wanted to bring it up, because I always forget, like, why is this a problem? Because I just have a hard time looking at that side of it. But,
well, like, I get it. It's for everybody is different, but.
Yeah,
you're right. I mean, you know, it's great for artists. because there's artists that make their living only doing covers, and they don't do anything else.
Right.
Like Art Germ doesn't do interior work. All he does is covers. I don't think Matina does interior work. All he does is covers.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't for all these variant covers, they wouldn't be working.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I get that part of it too, but it's just a frustrating part of the hobby.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Hey. All right. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You ready to get into book club?
Sure.
All righty. Let's see. What do we got? We've got a couple that we did. One, two. All right. Why don't you go with your second one first?
My second one? Okay. So my second first book is Magicians, issue number one. This is from Boom Studios, and it's going to be a 5-issue miniseries. This was written by Lila Sturgis, and it had art by Pius Back.
Back.
So, I didn't realize when I picked this up to read it that this was actually a series on TV.
Yeah. Well,
so
it's funny you read this one, because Slade offered it to me. I already had a pretty big stack today. And right. He was like, and he had mentioned the show. And he's like, do you watch, it's on Sci-Fi, I think.
Yeah.
And he's like, have you seen it? It's got, and I was like, I've got a ton here. And he's like, hey, yeah, don't worry about it. So I didn't grab it, but I'm interested to see what you thought of it.
Well, and it's funny, because I've heard of the show. Yeah. I just didn't associate, like, when I right. ordered it, and when I just didn't put two and two together. Until I picked it up, and I read actually read the synopsis. Actually, I read this synopsis, the one I put in our notes, after I had read the book. So I guess the good news is that I read the entire book and still had no idea that it was based off of a TV show. So what that says is that it was self-contained and easy to follow.
Yep.
You don't have to have any background to have read this book. It wasn't until I was putting my notes together that I pieced it together that it was based on a TV show.
Now, have you seen the TV show?
Never seen it.
Oh, okay.
No. No, and so that's what I'm saying.
That's why you wouldn't put it I was like, if you've seen the show and you still didn't put it together, I'd be like, wow, it's way off.
Yeah, no, I've never seen the show. I don't know anything about the show.
Okay.
But I guess that was my point, is that you don't have to know anything previously to pick up this book and read it.
Yep.
I knew nothing, and I followed it just fine. I know exactly what was going on. I know who everybody in the book was.
Cool.
I'm not even 100% sure that the characters were the characters from the show. This may just take place in the world of,
right,
because I still don't know. All that being said, it's a pretty fun book. You know, Boom Studios, I love Boom, so I really give them everything they put out, I give it a chance and try to read it. This is basically a group of a school for magicians. So you have this existing school that classically trains magicians. And the school brings on a new teacher who is basically like, I forget what they called them, hedge magicians. And these are magicians that were not, quote-unquote, classically taught in school. It's like witches and all the folklore magic that you would just learn out in the world. And they bring in this teacher who specializes in that. Because there are two different types of schools of magic.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to introduce into their school all these basically pagan traditions. So they bring in this teacher and three students to mix with all the other students in the school. So obviously that creates a lot of you know, the people that are the students that were in the school have a like a upper crust feel, like they're looking down on the quote unquote hedge magicians. You know,
yeah.
They think they're backwoods country folk and they don't know anything. So, you know, there's a lot of tension in the school between those students. And then there's a couple other things that you find out that I'm not going to spoil, but basically they were all brought together for a particular reason. And, you know, you find out that as the book goes along. It ends with a pretty good cliffhanger that makes you want to come back and see what happens in the next one. And then, like I said, where it's only five issues, if I'm already back for two, I'm probably going to stick it out
next three, yeah.
So I think if you like the show, again, there's probably an audience for this of people that know the show and are already looking for this. But I wouldn't let it hold you back if you don't know anything about the show, because I think it was good and it was fine without that. So
cool.
So that's it for The Magicians.
All right. My first book this week. So I was listening to this great podcast on Monday and I heard one of the hosts talk about Undiscovered Country.
Yeah. Wonder where that came from.
Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah.
I picked it up. I grabbed it today and I was like, I started reading and I was like, wait a minute. I've heard of this. And I went back. I was like,
you went back and listened to the show?
I went back. I was like, yeah, he did talk about this. I'm like, now you got an early copy?
I read it about a month ago.
A month ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only read number one, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's all I read.
That, but,
yeah.
Well, no, I know, but a lot of times we get the first two or, you know.
Oh, really?
The first couple. Yeah, but in this one I only got one. So.
Yeah, it's an oversized book. So,
it is. It was fairly long.
39 pages, I think, something like that. Maybe more. I don't know. But I thought it was really good. I thought the artwork was good. I thought the story, like you said the other day, it's fairly original.
It is.
You're not.
I mean, it seems like it's a riff off of today's politics when you talk about.
Right. And I laughed the other day you said it. But I highly recommend it because.
And I think the idea was absolutely born out of that.
Yeah.
Like,
but and they wanted to
Scott
twist
Snyder
it.
Scott Snyder sitting around one day saying, well, what if we did wall ourselves off, you know, and build our wall? What would happen?
But for what reason? Like, they twisted the reason.
They did.
And we still don't know why at the end of this issue.
You know what they said the reason was, but that's why I was saying then when you get inside the walls, you find out that it's not any better there than it was on the other side.
Right.
In some cases, it might have been even better on the other side than it was inside.
Yeah. It's. So. It has a great, I wouldn't call it a twist, but a really good story arc that makes it keeps you engaged. And like I said, I think it's a story that I haven't seen before. Usually when you're reading, we've said it many times, like, oh, well, this story's been told in this way.
Right.
You know, this, I don't really see it that way. I mean, other than a, you know, dystopian future, you know, but it jumps around time frame a little bit at the beginning, but then it settles in and you really, the story really takes off, and I'm really looking forward to the next one. So, I was really surprised by it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, like I said, I liked it as well. So, definitely recommend it.
Yeah, and that one, like you said, was by, Charles Sewell.
Charles Sewell and Scott Snyder.
Scott Snyder and...
were the writers.
Art and Daniel... is it Danielle? Daniel.
I thought it was Giuseppe Comancoli. Didn't he do the art on that?
He's one of them, yeah. He's
okay.
Yeah.
Is artist. There more than one?
And Daniel Orlandi. Orlandini.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with him as much.
Yeah. It could be Danielle. No, I don't know. That's not how you spell Danielle. I don't know. Anyways. We're so good with names.
I know. You would think we would, you know, we prepped ahead of time.
Well, I read it ahead of time. It doesn't mean I know how to say it any better. Yeah. It's like, in my head, it sounded great.
Right.
All right. This last book, I think, is great that we saved for last because I read it.
Oh, you read it too?
Yeah, okay. I read it, and Slade gave it to me. They're going through a little change right now, so he gave me a stack of books that he recommended. I just grabbed them, bought the stack, and I'm like, what's this one? And that one was that, you know, this what BB Free number one,
right,
of 12, Boom Studios. And I was like, what is this one? And he's like, oh, it's supposed to be really good. I really liked it. And I was like, what is it about? He goes, I don't know. I didn't read it.
Well, there you go.
I know. But no, he just thought the art was kind of crazy and he really liked it. Yeah. So, the art is kind of crazy. It's kind of like,
it is.
It's kind of drab for bright colors. You know what? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost like they faded the pictures. Like, it's an older book. So let me ask you, what did you think of this book?
Well, it's not my cup of tea.
That's what I was going to say.
That, saying that, though, I don't think it's a bad book. I'm just not the audience for this book.
This is a younger
reader's book, female. It's good for young girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes place 200 and something years in the future.
Right.
What I liked about it is that Florida had broken off and like split off and become its own set of islands.
A set of islands, yeah.
Because, you know, they always talk about California splitting off and sinking away. But I loved how everything was referred to now as the fractured states of America instead of the United States of America. But basically, this is about a girl named BB Free. She wants to be a radio broadcaster, her and her friend, kind of like me and you.
I really thought of me and you. So did I.
I'm BB and you're like Cheetah or whatever her name was.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I guess in this society, when you turn 15 years old, you can basically declare your freedom from your parents and you go off and do your thing. So she's getting ready to turn 15. She wants to go off and basically explore the fractured states of America and document it all through a radio program.
Right.
And, you know, that's really in a nutshell what this book is going to be about. Obviously, Dad doesn't want her to do this, wants her to stick around and, you know, stay close to home because it's dangerous out there. Like I said, this is not a bad book by any means. I thought the writing was clever.
Yes.
It's just not for me. Like, I'm not the audience for this.
Well, here's why it's kind of for me. And it's not. It's not for us. But what has me intrigued is I want to see if it plays out like real life.
Okay.
Where, like, it's the daughter is like, you don't understand, Dad. You don't get me. You let me be free, whatever. Now, I'm not spoiling the book. I'm just saying that's what it's like raising a daughter.
Well, like, right, of course.
You know what I mean?
And it's I've got five of them.
Exactly. And so. And it's like, and I have one, so you have five times my issues. But my daughter and I laugh now, and she's, you know, she's going to be 21 soon, and she's already starting on the other side of that hill of
to come back
and be like, oh, Dad, sorry.
Yeah. You were right.
Yeah. And that's
I don't know everything.
Right. It's like, that's what intrigues me about this book because it is still a comic book. This isn't real life situations. Something's going to happen that he's trying to protect her from.
Right.
And that it's going to be a comic book issue, you know, like a monster or something. I don't know what it is.
Well, they're able to ride alligators, so that's cool.
Yeah, she's got an alligator friend.
Yeah.
That she talks to.
And rides.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that was cool.
I guess when you grow up in Florida, that's what happens 200 years from now.
I guess, yeah, in the fractured states. I love the fractured states. Because that's what we live in now. We live in the fractured states of America right now.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I don't think it's any more fractured than it's ever been.
Maybe not, but that doesn't mean it's not fractured now.
Yeah. I'm intrigued to see what happens, like, how does this play out?
Yeah.
You know,
But I guess saying that, are you in for 12 issues?
No.
Like, are you going to plop down the 36 no. bucks to buy the, you know, so.
No, no. Uh-uh. No, I mean, yeah. I'll find it in the store and I'll just flip and see. Ah, yeah, see?
I'll buy the trade for $14.99 yeah. or something later on.
But
yeah, like I said,
it's definitely a great book for girls.
It is. And like I said, it's not a
young
bad
girls.
Book by any stretch. It's just, like I said, it's not for, we're not the target audience for this book.
Right. Nope. All right. Did you get to read any of the new X-Men books?
I read both of them.
All right. What did you think?
The first one I read was New Mutants. I was really looking forward to the New Mutants because it was written by Jonathan Hickman.
Yeah.
I was very, 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 very let down with the New Mutants.
I didn't finish it.
Didn't like it at all.
I didn't. I couldn't finish it.
I hate to say that, but it really, so far, has been the worst of the bunch.
Yep.
And I will not be back for issue two, I don't think.
I didn't.
I didn't like the art at all.
Nope.
And
it didn't have those arms, but it wasn't very good.
Right, right. It wasn't John Romita Jr. art. But, yeah. it was just so dull. Like, I don't know. It was really dull.
I was hoping you'd pull me back because
don't get me wrong. I can't.
There's been stuff that I don't know about in comic books, but I've had issues in the past where I didn't understand something and then somebody explained it to me. I'm like, I'm an idiot.
Right.
That's
oh,
great.
Now I like it. Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now, right. Now I get it.
You know what I mean? So I was reading this and I was like, am I that tired? I'm like, yeah. Do you want to know how?
Actually, I fell asleep and had to finish it this morning. I fell asleep reading it last night.
I couldn't finish it. I was reading it, and I'm like, I probably read 3/4 of it, and I was like, this is going nowhere. I don't understand it. I don't even get the continuity of this story. The beginning I kind of did like, because it's called New Mutants, and it's not a spoiler. A mutant comes out of one of the pods.
Well, right.
So I was like, oh, this is going to be a story about the people coming back, and...
This is the New Mutants team, though. Like the New Mutants.
I get that.
Yeah.
But this...
Well, right. But I'm saying they're not called that specifically because they're coming out of the pods.
Well, you never know now in this new future, this new version.
Don't.
So that's where I was going. But
the original New Mutants book from the 80s. I mean, this is the same lineup.
Right. Right.
From that book. So.
But I just thought it was like off. It was so, I hate using the word, it was so bad that it almost ruined me for comic books for today.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I'm glad I read it first and then still had the intestinal fortitude to move
on
to another book.
Well,
you know what I mean? Because I really liked X-Force.
To be fair, the New Mutants were never my favorite team to begin with. I just really had high hopes for this because Hickman was writing it. They were never my favorite group of characters, and it was never really one of my favorite books anyways, but I thought it would deliver more.
I think the books just – and I'm saying this in all honesty. I think I'm just not smart enough maybe. I don't know. It's
because
I found
it
to be confusing.
It wasn't intellectual. I think you understood it just fine. Like there was no hidden, there was no hidden intellectual stuff going on. It was just dull, and it just wasn't a good book. So I'll give you the credit that you could understand it because it just wasn't that good.
Yeah.
I heard you snuck in that you really liked X-Force. I kind of felt the same way about X-Force for at least 3/4 of the book. Again, I did not like the art in this book at all.
I thought the art was more vibrant.
It was better than New Mutants. Yeah.
And that's the thing is, I read these are the last two books I read today.
Right. So,
X-Force, I thought was, had I read X-Force first, maybe I wouldn't have liked it as much.
Right.
I still would have not liked New Mutants, but I like this a lot better than New Mutants, which.
Now, I felt like for the first three quarters of this book that it was pretty dull as well. But it really picked up at the end.
Yes.
You know, and obviously there's a huge cliffhanger at the end.
And that's why
I'm pretty sure we know what's going to happen, but,
well, it answer, well, we kind of do, but we kind of don't because we've speculated on that in the past.
Right.
When, you know, listeners will understand it when they read the book, what we're talking about. And,
right.
But this has been brought up. How do we deal with this? So, and that's one of the reasons I liked it. And one of the reasons I'm glad I stuck through the book and got to the end. And there was a few times in the book that I was like, what's the point of this conversation? But not at all like New Mutants, you know?
I do have to say that at this point though, now that we have five of our six Dawn of X books, at least one issue, none of them have lived up to the promise of House and Powers. Like, I'm not feeling as good about the X-Men universe as I was.
Well, I'm looking forward to X-Men next week.
Looking forward. No, next week is X Fallen Angels, which I am. Well, actually, and I think X-Men 2 comes out next week as
well. Yeah, X-Men 2. Both Fallen Angels and X-Men 2 come
Fallen
out next
Angels
week.
Is the one that I'm hoping is going to kind of lift my spirits back up a little bit. And then, yeah, X-Men, I mean, I thought the first X-Men book was good. Like we talked about when we read it, you know, it didn't have the same intensity that, you know, House and Powers had. But it's looking like I might only be reading X-Men.
Yeah.
And maybe Marauders for a little while.
I was just going to say, I like Marauders, too.
I don't know that I'm going to continue with Excalibur for a long period of time. I don't think I'll read number two of New Mutants. And
oh,
I'm on
I
the
definitely
fence
won't.
With X-Force. I'm definitely going to read X-Force number two just to see what happens.
Right.
But,
well, do you think that...
I think, you know, of all the other books, though, X-Force has the team that I'm most interested in. So I'm hoping that that book picks up, you know, because you've got Wolverine, you've got Domino, you know, you've got the characters that I like.
So do you think that ending is going to pick up in the next X-Force book, or will it?
Well, it could pick up in Fallen Angels.
Or X-Men.
Or X-Men, yeah.
So
we
next
know.
Week
I
we
mean,
should. I
it
mean,
depends on how intertwined these all end up being.
Right.
You know, obviously in this one we saw Kitty Pride and the boat and
the
boat, Marauders
yeah.
team. So, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of play back and forth between all these books.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm not even sure where the cliffhanger is going to pick up.
Right.
You're right about that. I didn't even think about that. I was just assuming X-Force number two, but hell, it could be an X-Men
right.
for all we know. So. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not saying I'm soured on the whole thing because, you know, I still really like X-Men, but I've been let down by a lot of these follow-up books. So,
well,
and maybe
can't
it's just
all
cause
be
we
gems.
Had so well, like I said, maybe it's because we had such high hopes coming out of House and Powers and how great that was. You know, you assume everything is going to be at the same.
Yeah, you're
level.
Riding that wave. It's got to come down at some point, and just and some of it is fatigue too on our part.
Could be.
You
there's
know,
a lot of X stuff going around right now.
Yeah, and you're going to, you know, and that's why.
But that's not going to go away.
The fatigue?
No, the number of books.
Oh,
I mean,
right. No, but.
Six titles, you're going to get one every week, and some of them.
Yeah,
and
no.
Sometimes
I'll probably,
week, so.
I'll definitely probably continue with X-Men. Marauders, I'm on close to following, you know, for a while. And after that, it's, I'll have to see. Excalibur,
right?
You know, number
like
two.
Like I said,
I'm on board with X-Force.
I'm on board for number two of all of them, probably except New Mutants.
New Mutants, no way.
I'm definitely giving all
one.
The other ones. I know. I'll definitely give all the other ones at least one more, maybe two more issues.
Yeah.
But like I said, I don't think New Mutants will get anything.
Yeah.
Unless it just becomes a must read because the stories are intertwining. You know. If he forces us into it, then, you know, we're not going to have any choice.
But. Well, no, because then what we'll do is you read one, I'll read another one. And then we'll just be like, guess
we'll
what
just,
happened here?
Yeah. We'll just take notes.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Look at you rubbing off on me. I'm starting to not like books now. It's taken just over a year, but
I'm giddy.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to change the name of the whole podcast now.
I know. Can't be the bright side anymore.
Nope. What?
Did you get a chance to read Daredevil?
No. I can't wait,
man,
though.
Another really solid issue. Like, it had dipped a little bit for me over the last few.
Well, yeah, because the last few, what did we keep saying? We kept saying, like, all right, can we just get him back to being Daredevil again?
Right, because... which you still don't get in this issue either. But this one was this one elevated again. Like, this was a really good issue. A lot of good stuff with Kingpin, and then a lot of stuff with Matt and Elektra, which was really cool. So it's a really good issue. Definitely, I know you're going to get to it anyways, but I would definitely read that.
Oh, of course.
Because it was really good.
Yeah. I'm starting to fall a little behind on my reading, you know.
Yeah. But it's getting harder and harder to keep up because there's just so many books to read.
Yeah.
And so much TV to watch. And so there's only so much entertainment you can consume.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
in a week.
Tough. I need more rainy days.
Yeah.
Problem with that is I don't make any money.
Yeah, I was going to say, you won't be able to afford to buy the books.
Exactly. So, all right. That good for this week?
I think so.
Or do you have anything else? Did you read anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I read all the DC books for this week.
I read the
none
latest Batman.
Yeah, none of them stood out for me. The Batman was pretty cool.
Batman was pretty cool.
It wasn't great. I feel like they're dragging
that story out. I'm enjoying it, but I feel like it got dragged out. I like the twist. I like that little bit of a... And it's not really a twist. It's not really fair to call it a twist, but I like how their team up is going.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the book. It was fun, but I feel like they're dragging out that whole battle.
Well, the whole City of Bane thing is, you know,
that's what
they're going to drag it out for four more issues. They're going to drag it out to 85 or 86, whatever he's ending at.
I thought it was 85. Wasn't this 82 we just had?
Yeah, so there's three more issues.
Yeah.
So it's going to drag on basically for three more issues. But it's going to be, I think this was part 9. So, I mean, it's going to be 12 parts by the time it's done. It's just been a long grind to the end with this storyline. Yeah. Like I said, there was some cool interactions with Catwoman and Bane that I liked.
Yeah.
And even Batman and Bane there towards the end. But, yeah, like I said, it didn't stand out as a great issue, honestly.
No, they can't. They can't all.
John Romita Jr. didn't do the art, so right away I was happy when I read it.
I knew you'd like that.
Yeah, that it wasn't that. But yeah, like I said, unfortunately, none of the DC books this week really stood out to me as being that great.
How was Doom, Green Lantern Black Stars?
Didn't read it.
Oh, I thought you
I couldn't said get through the. I couldn't get through the end. Oh, I didn't read every DC book. I read I read the ones that I read.
Okay. I didn't know if you read that number one.
I couldn't get through Green Lantern. Like towards the end of that series, I really didn't like
that's
it.
That's a heavy read.
Yeah, and this is just more of the same.
Oh, really?
I wasn't interested in it at all, so I didn't read it.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I've been reading, and this is not a new book. This is kind of a callback to a good series. But I've been reading Invincible. I think I mentioned it a week or two ago. You know, that's from Image Comics. Robert Kirkman wrote that. He did, obviously, The Walking Dead. And Ryan Otley did the art for almost the whole series, and he's doing The Amazing Spider-Man right now. This is a really great series. It's pretty long. I mean, there's 144 issues, but it is done now. So, I mean, it is only ever going to be 144. You know, at this point, you'd have to go back and buy the trades and read through it. But I'm about halfway through. I think I finished, like, issue 72 last night. So I'm literally halfway through it. I love it. I really liked it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I highly recommend it. Again, it's one of those things where it's very self-contained. You know, you don't have to come in with any knowledge. I mean, Invincible is introduced in issue 1 and goes all the way through. You don't need any history or backstory. Just really fun characters, really fun writing. I like the art a lot because I like Ryan Ottley's artwork. And now I'm really looking forward to this. This has been optioned for, I think it's Amazon or one of the streaming services optioned this for an animated show. And I'm really looking forward to it now. It's definitely going to be an adult animated show because there's a lot of blood. There's a lot of blood in this book. But I don't know, very highly recommended for anybody looking for something, you know, to kind of go back and read.
Yeah, you mentioned The Amazing Spider-Man too. That story is going into the, 2099 story?
Yes.
The story arc? Just thought it was Amazing Spider-Man 33 just came
33,
out?
33, I think, came out today. Today? Or 32? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kicking off the 2099 storyline.
Yeah, I flipped through it. It looks good. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but...
Yeah, I haven't either.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So. All right. That good?
I think so. I mean, I read more books. We can go all day, but I think that's good enough.
Yeah, exactly. All right. What did you guys read? Let us know at brightsidechat@gmail.com. You can email us there. Twitter at, brightside_chat. I'm tired again.
That's why we don't have any followers, because we don't know what our Twitter handle is.
We have followers. We have a lot of followers. And we have great conversations going there.
We do.
So, I don't know why. I'm all of a sudden all confused.
All of a sudden, just, yeah.
Yeah, I'm all of a sudden.
Gas leak.
Yeah, I think so. I was like, all of a sudden, I'm just like, oh, I did the email first. When does that happen?
Right.
And then I gave out a bad Twitter handle. It's like, that was a horrible read. But, hey, don't let that discouraging you.
You can't even talk anymore. We're done, ladies and gentlemen.
We are definitely done. Don't let that discourage you from going to the NerdyLegion.com and checking out all the great podcasts there. One of them would be us. We are proud members of the Nerdy Legion.
Well, I mean, that we're there. Whether we're great or not is debatable.
Yeah. It's kind of like what we were saying earlier, but like they can't all be gems. Well,
right.
You know, you got to have a couple
of we're living proof of that.
Yeah, you got to have a couple pieces of coal to make those diamonds shine.
That's right.
So, all right. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. That's it. Let's get out of here. Close the door behind me. Don't open it again. All right. We will be back on Monday with Force Awakens.
Yes, sir.
Oh, maybe I'll awaken too.
I hope so.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.